But what's important to note here is that BIS, the IMF, the World Bank, these centers are all based in Switzerland. Okay, and they all enjoy total immunity from prosecution. And it's not just going to be these banks, okay? Also, I talked about Gavi earlier, the Gavi Vaccine Alliance. We can show an image later, but they also have these kinds of immunity. They're untouchable.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in on Memorial Day, and may God bless those who shed their blood that we may have freedom. That was independent journalist and new friend to SGT Report, Dan Fournier, and I highly recommend you check out his Substack, the link to which is below. And in this one, we discuss the criminal international bankers that sit atop the pyramid, the same bankers that funded the United Nations, which now seeks to legalize pedophilia. All roads lead to this banking cartel and Lucifer. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. There's no denying that gold is hot right now, and so is inflation. Prices are soaring, and experts are predicting there's more to come. Not so long ago, gold reached its all-time high of $2,069 an ounce, and now it's inching ever closer to that number once again. Bank of America, one of the largest banks in the world, is saying gold will rise further still to over $2,200 an ounce this year. Gold is already a safety net for your hard-earned money, and now when the stock market is all over the place and the value of the dollar is very uncertain, being safe really counts like never before. Now, there's always a risk of investment, and there's no guarantee of any kind, so do your own due diligence. Noble Gold is offering a 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin for any qualified IRA or old 401k rollover. Terms apply. A solid silver U.S. Mint issued coin celebrating our national parks, free with every qualifying precious metals IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments. Give them a call at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in, guys. It's fantastic to have you all back. I caught something on the plane, I think, coming back from Mexico, so I'm a little bit under the weather, which is very odd for somebody who tries to take care of himself as I do, and you guys know I do. It really is a bit perplexing, and I have to tell you, it's not fun. But I'm delighted to have on the line here Dan Fournier. He's an independent journalist. And in this one, guys, we're going to talk about the real Holocaust, which is the COVID-19 bioweapon agenda. We'll talk about the unholy trinity, the UN, World Health Organization, and World Economic Forum. One of the chief bad guys, of course, being Klaus Schwab, right out of central casting. Nobody looks the part more than he. Dan, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm pretty good, Sean. Thank you very much for having me. First, I really would like to note that I've been following your work for about 10 years now, and I would like to thank you for your courage on reporting on all this information of these dark matters. It must really take its toll on you, so I salute you for your perseverance and determination.
Well, God bless you, man. Thank you. That's very nice of you to say, and I want to pay it forward, too, to show your Substack here, guys. FournierSubstack.com. You can see how it's spelled right there. The COVID-19 Holocaust Comparison Part 6, the conclusion. We'll jump all over here, guys, but eugenics is eugenics and propaganda is propaganda, and nobody is as fascist as these people. They want to usher in their great reset where you'll own nothing and be happy. And one of the primary ways to do that, guys, was to sell the world on this bioweapons agenda, the COVID-19 bioweapon. Where would you like to start, Dan?
Yeah, maybe before just diving into those matters, I would like to maybe just mention that I think the only real pandemic we have is the one of a lack of discernment, questioning, and critical thinking among the greater population. You know, and I say this as somebody who's worked for over 35 years in education, 22 as a teacher, having taught, you know, students with ages ranging from 9 to 90. Okay, and also leading up to the COVID-19 pandemic, and as of late, you know, there's been a lot of kind of crackdown on so-called disinformation, misinformation, malinformation, you know, to control the narratives and to censor those telling the inconvenient truths, just like you, me, myself, and others. But when you really think about it, there's no such thing as disinformation, misinformation, malinformation, fake news. It's all information. it just needs to be better scrutinized by those viewing it. So I just wanted to start with that, and then we can continue what I would call the unholy trinity, the United Nations, the WHO, and the WEF. So
yeah, very good. And you know what I should say too? I agree with you. The number one pandemic in the world is ignorance. And I'll show a picture here. When we were on the flight coming back from Mexico, there was a young couple in their 30s, and they were both fully masked for the entirety of the flight. And, you know, I have a propensity to kind of make fun of people like that. And I say, well, it's an IQ test and they're failing badly, but I'm the one that caught something. So maybe the joke is on me. But guys, I wanted to show you this. Deaths attributable to the Holocaust, we can debate this number all day, and believe me, people do. But let's say the official stats are correct. 6 million people. Again, we can debate that all day long. But the estimated deaths attributable allegedly to the COVID-19 vaccine program, 13 million, add close to 7 million more for COVID-19 itself. We're approaching 20 million dead people. And Dan, those are official numbers. I wonder if the number's actually not far higher than that, because the mainstream media, and I'm holding the book in my hand, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022 by Ed Dowd. As you know, the mainstream media is ignoring all of these people that are dying suddenly. And Cause Unknown, I dispute that title. We know the cause. It's the bioweapon, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I dig into that a lot in the series. People can definitely have a look at that. Just a little side note on those numbers, the 13 million, that's a number that was estimated from a model of a researcher named Denis Rancourt. Denis is D-E-N-I-S, and his last name is Rancourt, R-A-N-C-O-U-R-T. And you can go denisrancourt.ca. And he's also from Quebec here, province where I'm from. And so he studied for 3 years. He looked at excess deaths, the numbers of deaths attributable to the COVID-19 vaccinations. There were other similar models that I could have included in my work there, some including with deaths as high as 20 million attributable to the vaccines. But I chose this particular one because it seemed the most sound. And maybe to inform your audience, I mean, I'm sure you have some Canadian viewers, but I don't know if you and you personally and your viewers are aware of something called the National Citizens Inquiry, or the NCI. It's something we have in Canada. It's been running for a few months now. It just wrapped up. It's a citizen-led inquiry, so it has nothing to do with the government. They went over 8 cities, and they interviewed over 300 witnesses. Two categories of witnesses. There were experts, such as researchers like Denis Rancourt, the guy I was talking about, and many other doctors, you know, like William Mackis and people like that. And also people who have been, I guess, victimized by the pandemic, either through, you know, medical procedures or just psychological torture and trauma, if you will. So I would invite people, the website is nationalcitizensinquiry.ca, and you can listen to the video testimony of, you know, these witnesses. It's pretty riveting. If you listen to that, it's heart-wrenching with some of the stories, and the quality of the expert witnesses also is just fabulous. Just the last point about the testimony of this particular researcher and why I chose him. He knows his stuff. He's pretty well prepared. So he presented his findings, 3 years of research. He even linked to an 894-page report with exhibits of, you know, all the numbers, methodology, and everything. And nobody's refuted his work so far. Of course, he's been criticized, but nobody's refuted the quality of his work. So that just gives you a little bit of an idea of what you can find there.
All right. Well, very good. Let me do a screen share here, guys, and show you one of the chief demons on planet Earth. There he is, Klaus Schwab. By all accounts, guys, if you follow the bloodlines, it takes you directly back to the Rothschilds, like so many of these avenues do. Emmanuel Macron, right? Former Rothschild banker. You can't make this stuff up. Whose hand is he shaking here, Daniel?
Well, here we have, this is the Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, on the right, that you see. So he's, of course, meeting with Professor Klaus Schwab, right? Everybody knows him. or vilain du jour, as we say. So he's the executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, of course. Now, I can get into this a little bit. So this, the context for this is actually this particular photograph. This was around June of 2019. So this is when the World Economic Forum and the United Nations signed a strategic partnership framework. Okay. So this was a meeting held at the United Nations headquarters between the UN Secretary General, okay, that like we just said. So basically, this was an agreement to accelerate the implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And for other talk, we'll see this 2030, it always comes back, always comes back. So that's kind of the general gist of it for this. I think I might have given you a picture of maybe on the next slide or something, the World Economic Forum, UN's signed strategic partnership. Basically, it's just a screenshot of what they have on their website. So maybe just a couple points I'd like to make, not this one here, maybe.
There we go. All right.
Okay, couple quick points on that. First, this is an agreement that has been agreed upon and signed by the heads of these two organizations. Okay, so the Secretary General of the United Nations, he acted on his own behalf. No vote was ever held on the matter by member states of the United Nations. So basically, they essentially bypassed the will of the citizens of those countries and, you know, their respective governments. So that's something we have to keep in mind. What you see boxed in red there on the bottom, it also contains many other areas, such as, you know, besides obviously COVID-19, it contains a lot of many other areas. What I mean by that is health. So it contains other areas such as, you know, health, gender equality, digital cooperation, which means surveillance, basically, climate change, and food production and distribution, which is a big part of that as well.
Well, let me say gender equality. I think we all know what that means now. That means that when you walk into a Target store, you and your family and your children will be bombarded by messaging, marketing, mannequins, and clothing that tries to groom your children into becoming trans insane people. That's gender equality for you right there, my friend. And it's pure evil, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I know, Sean, you worked at Target before.
I did for 10 years until 2008. And it was a very different corporation then. And I'll give you an example. Back then, and since its inception up until recently, Target gave back 5% of its pre-tax profits to the communities in which it did business. Those monies went to schools and to poor kids, to programs, really good stuff, quality stuff. That's not the company Target is anymore, I can assure you, Dan.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, there's other organizations. I'm just going to use my notes because it's a little bit easier. Like I said before, I call them the unholy trinity, okay? So the UN, the WHO, and the WEF, they're pretty much all in bed together. First, it must be noted that the WHO, what some people don't know, is part of the UN. And a lot of your viewers probably know that the largest source of funds obtained by the WHO comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but not just them, but also the Gavi Foundation. Now, the Gavi Foundation is a vaccine advocacy group, basically the Gavi Vaccine Alliance. It was set up and financed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to the tune of $750 million. A few years back. If you want to look at some numbers, in 2021, these two entities alone, they accounted for over $308 million in funding to the WHO, okay, ahead of the largest single contributing nation, which was the US, at $122 million. Now, part two of my series of my COVID Holocaust comparison series, and in part two, I linked to this particular official WHO funding document, and you know, they have partners such as big pharma with Pfizer and Moderna, and they profit tremendously from the recommendations of the vaccines by the WHO. So always follow the money.
Can I ask you something, Dan, as a Canadian? Is there a better example of a more impish, feminine, sold out piece of trash on planet Earth than the man on the right there? The man on the left, too. Both look wimpy. I don't think either of them have hit a gym in their lifetimes. But the guy on the right, Trudeau Castro, what is the consensus among Canadians as it pertains to this piece of trash?
Yeah, I mean, a lot can be said, right? You know, we have a lot of division in Canada, like you do in the US. You know, there's here it's liberal, conservative. There are other parties as well, but it's similar to the US. So there's a lot of fighting. But when you know, at the end of the day, like you said, this is my personal opinion, but I think, you know, people like Trudeau, you know, they're puppets. They're subservient to the WHO, the WEF. I mean, there's plenty of proof of that. It's not hard to follow the actions and follow the money of these leaders. That's what they stand for. I mean, we can talk about just the image you had on the screen. There was the Global Citizen. So if you want, we could talk about that. It was an undertaken by Gavi. Okay, so this is to promote vaccines worldwide, and this started even before the pandemic. So this photograph, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have my notes too close here, I think it's from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that, you know, it's been going on for a long time. Well, I do have my notes here, so I could share a little bit with that. So yeah, Global Citizen, that was an organization that was custom tailored just to help propagate the ideas set forth by the Gavi Vaccine Alliance, you know, and their partners. And their partners include, you know, no small potatoes, Google, YouTube, and the Thomson Reuters Foundation. You know, they're one of the biggest media conglomerates in the world. They're known for Reuters.com. So during the COVID-19 pandemic, they had, and this image you had earlier, One World Together at Home, if you can flash that on the screen.
Well, I want to show you one thing, though. You just sparked a thought. I think you're right about 2016, because you know who else is a part of this? A willing global citizen to sell the propaganda? Bono from U2. Oh. Read the latest from Global Citizen about Bono. The One Campaign is an anti-poverty group led by U2's frontman Bono. Well, guess what? Daniel, they don't care about getting rid of poverty. United Nations Agenda 2030 is the plan to make us all live like serfs. Thereby, we're all equal. And Bono, I've always struggled with that because I used to really like U2 a lot. How much money is enough, Daniel? Do you think being worth $200-400 million as the frontman of U2, you think that would be enough, right? But no, Bono wants to be a billionaire. And one way you do that is by partnering with all these demon creatures like Trudeau, like Gates, like the United Nations, and selling their propaganda.
Yeah. Bono has a strong affiliation with the World Economic Forum. You can see him at the prior meetings. They've been photographed together. I mean, a lot could be said about him, but I would rather not waste my time on him because, yeah, he's a sellout, but he's a very, very low-hanging fruit. I can tell you a little bit more about this One World Together, and you have one other sellout that was propping this particular thing up is Samuel L. Jackson. Like, he made a video basically during this campaign. Now, this was a campaign, if you can find the image, One World Together at Home. This was conducted by Global Citizen and you know, pushed by the World Health Organization. Their logo's right on the campaign. So basically, they leverage the masses to tweet and harass government leaders such as Trudeau and, you know, all the different country leaders to help fund vaccination efforts. And Samuel L. Jackson, in his video, you can go search it online on YouTube. He actually has the banker T-shirt for a movie he had made at the time he was promoting. And he says, oh, well, you know, the Netherlands, they're providing money for vaccination. This country is providing vaccination. You got to push your leader so your leader can contribute more money to the vaccines. And I have some figures somewhere here, if I can find them. I have the exact amounts. Basically, I'm going off the top of my head here. But you can go on the funding directly on Gavi's website. And for, I think it's 2016 to 2025, Canada has pledged over $1.86 billion. And the United States for the same period has pledged, I think it's $6.2 billion U.S. So you look at these funds that are going there, and you know that's how they're getting a lot of their money. And then you look at somebody like Bill Gates, who's running all these, basically running all these organizations. You know, he's the one who funds them, but he gets so much money back from the governments. It's pretty incredible. And you wonder, well, how does Bill Gates remain the first or second richest guy in the U.S.? How does that happen if he's supposedly, you know, through his philanthropical efforts, giving hundreds of millions of dollars every year, and yet just during COVID, his personal wealth increased by $7.5 billion? So you have to wonder, we're like, you know, our governments are basically looting, you know, the citizens through taxpayer money, and they're funneling all these funds to them.
Well, yeah, and as you know, Bill Gates is just a foot soldier, a lieutenant general in this war against the people who sit at the very top of the pyramid. And I think you've got a great diagram here, but I would even make one correction. At the very top are 300 people, the Committee of 300. But you're right, the banking elites, then the Bank for International Settlements, then the IMF and World Bank, then below that, the central banks like the Federal Reserve, et cetera. And then you've got your regular banks, stock market centers, multinational corporations, governments, and then we the people sit at the bottom. That's not how the founders set up our beloved nation. As we have this conversation on Memorial Day, Daniel, how many good men shed their blood so that we could live free? And these demon vipers, these demon creatures want us to live as slaves under them in perpetuity forever. I'll have nothing of it. I don't want any part of it. And we're going to do our level best to fight it, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, this, we share the sentiment as Canadians. I mean, you guys saw during the truckers convoy, you know, people just had enough with all the COVID nonsense and the measures, the health restrictions and all that. And, you know, a lot of people went to Ottawa to protest from all around the country. And that included a lot of veterans. You know, that's what they fought for. They fought for our freedoms, right? And when, you know, Trudeau and his government, when they decide to take all the people's freedoms away, they say, hold on a minute, you know, that's not what, you know, our veterans fought for. You know, we have a charter, just like in the U.S., you have a constitution. In Canada, we have a charter of rights, right? So, I mean, this... It just can't go on. And just coming back to that pyramid structure, that was from a former insider, Ronald Bernard, which you've talked about on your show several times, I think. So this is not according to me. This is according to a very, very high level banker who turned whistleblower. And if people aren't familiar with the context of Ronald Bernard, he was a Dutch banker, very, very high in these banker elites that you see on top of the screen here, 8,500 people. And the only reason he got out is that at some point they asked him to, you know, they invited him to some kind of party and to do an actual sacrifice, a human sacrifice, a child sacrifice. And at that point, he just, you know, you can watch the videos. The videos are still available online. Where he just discusses this, and there's no way he's faking it. He basically cries during the video. So, but there are other videos that maybe some people haven't seen from him, and he explains the actual banking system, how just money is created out of thin air, the rampant inflation we're seeing in the U.S. and Canada and elsewhere. This is all, you know, due to money printing, and especially during COVID, they printed so much money. But what's even more nefarious about this is, and a lot of people don't know this, is is not, because here, if you look at that graph, if you can put that graph back on the screen, the pyramid, right under the banker elites, you have the Bank for International Settlements, okay, the BIS. So this is the Central Bank of Central Banks, okay? And then you have the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and World Bank. And then you have the central banks like, you know, the Bank of Canada, U.S. Federal Reserve, and so on. But what's important to note here is that BIS, the IMF, the World Bank, they're all, these centers are all based in Switzerland, okay? And they all enjoy total immunity from prosecution. The BIS, and you can go to the BIS website, bis.org/about/headcourt-en.pdf. It's the agreement between the Swiss Federal Council and the Bank for International Settlements to determine the bank's legal status in Switzerland. Now, if you can go to image 9, you'll see article 3. So just to show you, there's article 3, 4, and 14. So this shows that they have total immunity from prosecution, these banks. And it's not just going to be these banks, okay? Also, I talked about Gavi earlier, the Gavi Vaccine Alliance. We can show an image later, but they also have these kinds of immunity. They're untouchable, okay? So inviolability. So their buildings, the police over there cannot enter the buildings. There's nobody can enter the buildings. They have their own police force. The archives of the bank, all documents, all data, inviolable. That means nobody can ever touch them. They cannot be prosecuted. Go to the next image. See, here it says the bank shall enjoy in respect to property, assets. All their assets cannot be seized. They have total immunity. Okay. Nothing can be seized. All deposits entrusted by the banks, all claims against the bank. And the last part here, they'll be immune from any measures of execution, including seizures, attachments, freezing. You can go to the next slide.
Well, let me say something. I think this is very interesting. Sure. You mentioned Ronald Bernard, who was offered to make a sacrifice, and he quit and blew the whistle on these people. They are above the law, and they've wrapped up all of the mainstream horror media pretty much globally, but especially in the Western nations. So the mainstream media will run cover for these people. And I don't know if there's a better example than the cover-up in the UK of the crimes of Jimmy Savile or the crimes of Sir Edward Heath. Again, the mainstream horror media runs cover for these people and their satanic ritual abuse and their child sex trafficking and their drug trafficking. They're above the law. And here you have it right in black
exactly
and white.
Why. People wonder why, like, after the last financial crisis, 2007, 2008, why didn't any of these bankers go to jail? Because what I just showed you, that's why, because they're immune. Okay. And it's the same thing with the United Nations. I didn't put the United Nations in there, but it's the same thing with them. Right in New York, you have the people from United Nations. They have a passport, United Nations passport. They're untouchable. They could shoot somebody in the street. The police could not do anything there. Okay. These people are untouchable. And I'll refer you to my last article, which is quite troubling because it involves these same institutions, the WHO, the United Nations, and the WEF, but mostly the former two, basically abusing our children. And at the end of that particular, I don't know if you can show that, if ever you're on my website, or I can always show it. Now, this is quite troubling. I just published this a little over a week ago, and the title says it all. And it's actually the title's holding back too, because the UN, the WHO, and the WEF, they really seek to sexualize, exploit, and decriminalize sex with school-age children, and even legalize pedophilia. Okay, so what I was talking about the UN, I can come back, but if you scroll down a little bit, okay, this really caused an uproar not too long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, with the publication of this particular document by the United Nations. Okay, they have a body called the UNAIDS. And basically, it's very sneaky because they seek to clandestinely decriminalize sex with minors. If you go down a little bit in the article, Okay, UNAIDS. And you see this document here, right? The 8 March principles. Okay, and they always label these things to make it sound like they're giving you more rights or they're protecting your rights, but it's always very deceitful. So here it's basically there's the, I forget the exact acronym, ICJ, the International Consortium of Jurists or something like that. It's in the article here. And they say that the organization is made up of 60 eminent judges and lawyers from around the world, yet they do not list any of them. Okay. And what they're doing, it's this is the organization who's responsible for that. And they basically want to legalize pedophilia. And you can read through this. It's black and white right here on the screen. You can see it. Moreover, sexual conduct involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent to sex may be consensual in fact, if not in law. This is what they want to do. So that means that persons who would have sex with a minor below the age of consent could not even be prosecuted criminally. I mean, this is just, if this kind of thing is permitted in countries, I mean, we're talking about our children here.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Just a quick word about our sponsor. Did you know Bank of America is saying gold will go to $2,200 this year? An all-time high. Invest in a gold IRA with Noble Gold Investments today and take advantage of this rare opportunity to secure your retirement savings. Now remember, there's always a risk of investment and no guarantee of any kind, so do your own due diligence. But I myself own gold. With the experts at Noble Gold Investments, you can ride the wave of gold's historic rise to financial security amidst all the inflation. This month, they're offering a solid silver 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with every qualifying precious metals IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments. Hurry and go to noblegoldinvestments.com to secure your wealth and bag a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin if you qualify. noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Yeah, it's pits of hell stuff. And I think this gets us back to the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, too. If we will not stand up for the children, all hope is lost. Our society is lost forever. We must stand up for the children. And that's just ingrained in our DNA. That's just basic human programming. Here's the thing, Daniel. You know it, and I know it. This is pits of hell, Sodom and Gomorrah level stuff. These are crimes against God. That's exactly what this is. It's not just crimes against humanity, like the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. Sexualizing and making pedophilia, sex with children, legal is a crime against God. Yeah. But that's what we've learned, right? We've learned from Laura Logan when she's questioned people about this. She had a friend, a high-level friend, who's running these circles. And she said, why do they hate children so much? Why do they want to victimize children? Why do they get off on targeting children? And the answer she got was because they hate God. And children, the innocence of children, is as close to God as human beings will ever get. That's why they do this to kids. That's why they want to legalize these abominations, Daniel, because they hate God.
Yeah. No, I mean, you talk about spiritual warfare on your show a lot, and this definitely comes into play. These people who are involved in these agendas, they're just diabolical. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They must hate God because, and God's creatures, because like, and you nailed it right there. I mean, our children are God's most precious creatures, right? And if we can't protect them, I mean, what does that say about society? I mean, it's pretty concerning. And I don't like your audience necessarily to take my word for it. Like, two main points here. The greater context of this is I can come to no other conclusion. These are all depopulation efforts. Okay, so part three of my series on the Holocaust COVID-19 comparison focuses on eugenics. It's the longest part. It's 48 pages, just part three. And it looks at eugenics in the 20th century. And, you know, this hasn't changed. It's the same thing in the 21st century. It's the same types of players, It's all these rich families, okay? Through their foundations, they have all these programs, and they always kind of, just like they did in the 20th century, they try to disguise it as, you know, now they'll use terms like global public health, okay? Or reproductive rights, okay? So that really means abortion, right? So they're going to use these terms, especially like nowadays. It's part of these depopulation efforts are, you know, basically to sterilize children now. That's what a lot of this trans agenda is. And I'm not saying this to be, you know, transphobic.
Well, I know you're not.
Nothing. This has nothing to do with the lifestyle. You know, America, Canada, you know, we're very diverse societies. You know, people are free to do a lot of things as adults. But once, you know, people start messing with our children, and then people not, you know, that's the line. Sorry, that's the red line. And, you know, people have had enough of that.
Well, I think that my recent returning guest, Ben Armstrong, hit the nail on the head when he talks about the demon rats and the rhinos, but the demon rats specifically, they love your freedom only as it pertains to your freedom to sin. You want to get an abortion? No problem. You're free to do it. You want to diddle kids? No problem. You want to have your kids go get sex change operations at age 3 or 4? No problem. We'll even run cover for you in certain states where if you get your kid there, then it can be done without parental consent. And I want to show this because you said something, if I heard you right, I knew the United Nations was trying to legalize pedophilia. What I didn't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, did you say that the UN, the World Health Organization, and the WEF are all in agreement on that plan? Because here's Al Gore, a demon rat in the flesh. He's on the board of trustees for the World Economic Forum. So did I hear that right? All three, the unholy trinity, they all want to legalize pedophilia?
I mean, it's hard to say like all three exactly through these documents. But when you look at these documents, just look at that, my latest Substack article. I mean, that's mostly, it's because the you know, these organizations, they'll have other organizations that they're members of, you know. And here on just on screen, what you're showing is Gavi. So they have immunity. It's on in the red box down there. Geneva-based Gavi Alliance enjoys privileges and immunities. It's the same thing. Okay, so these people cannot be prosecuted. So even if, you know, parents have their children abused or whatever the case, you know, these people are untouchable, and they put all these things so that they become untouchable. So, I mean, these institutions are not our friends. They come across as so-called benevolent organizations. You know, the WEF, we have public-private partnerships. What does that mean? Public means government, private means corporations. Well, that means fascism, right? Basically, corporatism, fascism, call it what you want. Okay, nobody elected these people at the WEF, okay? But yet, we're stuck, like our deputy prime minister, Chrystia Freeland, you just showed it before. She's on the board of trustees of the WEF. That's like, that would be the equivalent of your vice president, Kamala Harris, being on the WEF board. Can you imagine that? Well, that's what she's on, okay? And that's in strict violation with conflicts of interest laws in Canada. Okay, we have it in Canada. We have an ethics commissioner supposed to look into this. There were many complaints, many Freedom of Information Act requests to him about this particular topic. Doesn't want to say anything. And there were, I don't know, there were, I forget the exact number of complaints, but just between in a 2 month period, I think it was in 2021, there was like 2,000 complaints about interference of the WEF with our politicians, our MPs in Canada. And I think it was like 1,200 complaints, and by people, by citizens. And what they did is they all packaged them together. They said, there's no evidence to support this. Nothing to see here. Case closed. Only one time was the WEF brought up in a parliamentary session. An MP brought it up because one of his constituents was worried about it, And guess what happened? As soon as he brought it up, the Speaker of the House said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we have some kind of technical audio difficulty. Can't talk about this." It was never mentioned again. And yet, we have, you know, our Deputy Prime Minister, and she's also a Minister of Finance. So she sits on the board, clear violation of conflict of interest laws. She gets away with it. And not only that, she attended Bilderberg, which just took place last week. If your audience knows what Bilderberg is, in secret, she's had secret meetings with WEF. Again, Freedom of Information Act requests, you know, no, they cannot reveal what's been discussed with her. Like, it doesn't take long to see who these people are working for, whether it's her or Trudeau. They're not working for the people. They're working for these organizations.
Yeah, and not only are they, not only are they working for these organizations at the very, very top, maybe they don't know they're actually doing the bidding of Lucifer. At the very highest levels, as Ronald Bernard attested to, these people are Luciferians. His words, not mine. Okay, they traffic in children and they have so much power that the money doesn't even mean anything to them anymore. So they get off on hurting people and sacrificing children and sacrificing humanity. And I think, Daniel, in the last 15 minutes we have together, that takes us back to the point of this whole conversation. The COVID-19 bioweapon agenda, the real Holocaust, the new abnormal. You know, they were calling it the new normal during this thing, during this pandemic. The rise of the biomedical security state is what we're talking about. Now, I haven't read this book, but I want to show the slide because this is the new abnormal. Remember when this was all going down and these vipers kept saying, the new normal, this is the new normal, right? Sheltering in place, not working, having your business shut down, being forced to take their bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, which now we know is part of their great reset. And they brag about it. They even admitted they have a very short, small window of opportunity to roll out their great reset, to enslave all of us. And I think if there's any good news, it's that people are waking up in droves globally. Are you seeing that? Do you agree with me here? I mean, are we going to win with our great awakening, or are they going to get their demonic Luciferian great reset?
No, I would agree with you. I think people are waking up. Just look at the Freedom Convoy in Canada. And if you just go on Twitter, go any post that Justin Trudeau or Chrystia Freeland, they post, and many of our Canadian politicians, just look through the comments. You know, in one day, they might do a one tweet and there might be 2,000-3,000 comments. Well, about 99.9% of those comments are negative. People are fed up. And I mean, how they're still in power is just beyond me. I mean, you have the same problem in the United States, but you know, how these people remain in power. But there is a silver lining. People are waking up. People are realizing, you know, especially during COVID, you know, everything that's gone on. And just look at the WHO. I mean, in my COVID Holocaust comparison series, you know, I list one of the claims was that, and this was from a former VP, very, very high up in Pfizer, Dr. Yeadon. And he was saying that even the WHO did not follow their own particular guidelines for pandemics. This was written in September 2019. This was before COVID hit. And they basically had their own document. I linked to the document, the WHO's own document. It says that, you know, lockdowns and contact tracing, masks, all the measures that they were employed during COVID, they all said that those are ineffective. We should not be using them. And yet, they were all used. So why did they use them during the pandemic? Why were they all in lockstep using these? You can go back to event 201, you know, which was a pandemic simulation, you know, of about a coronavirus, which took place in October 2019, just a few months before the real pandemic. And this was all supported by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And there was a recent one, too. It's in my latest article, too, right at the end. They have another simulation that they just had, which is called something contagion. Let me just get the name here. And it's basically, it's a simulation of the next kind of pandemic. But this particular virus would target more children. And again, this is funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So that's kind of concerning. You know, and you've talked a lot about the Rockefeller 2010 lockstep simulation as well. What RFK said about these pandemic, these simulations, he said, basically, what all these simulations have in common is none of them emphasize protecting public health by showing Americans how to bolster their immune system, to eat well, to lose weight, to exercise, to maintain vitamin D levels, to avoid chemical exposures, and so on and so on. Even more concerning in this book, in the first chapter, they talk about, this doctor talks about what they call contagious vaccines. So a lot of people, maybe in the next pandemic, people will be reluctant to take vaccines. Well, this is something they've been working on for 20 years now. And I think I sent you a link, is what they call contagious vaccines. So these vaccines, let's say only 5% of the population would get them, but the others who are not vaccinated, they would catch this particular vaccine, even though they didn't get the shot. Okay, so this is kind of like the phenomenon of what people call shedding for this particular vaccine. So in other words, they wouldn't even need for people to consent to taking a vaccine. They could just, you know, get a very, very small portion of the population to do this. And if you've heard the work of Karen Kingston, who was at Pfizer before, she's a patent expert. She looked at you know, how they're putting this in food now too. I mean, it goes on and on. I don't want to go down too many rabbit holes, not to make people more fearful, because people are waking up, and I think people are going to be more and more reluctant. And we didn't even talk about digital IDs and CBDCs, but that's something that's covered in part four of my series. I've been writing about these topics for years, and it's all the same institutions pushing this. And it always goes back to UN Agenda 2030. You know, these are the institutions that want to push for digital IDs, and they need the digital ID to impose their CBDCs. But silver lining, CBDCs, I lived 13 years in China. People are not using the CBDC there. Okay, they tried to roll it out in Nigeria with the e-Naira, and citizens don't trust their government. They even like ban cash and everything, and people still don't trust the government. They don't want to use either of these. And even organizations like the WEF, they did a lot of surveys, and only about 10% of the population would be willing to have a digital ID or CBDC. So that's on our side, I think, and that's encouraging. So we'll have to wait and see, but the more people wake up, the more we share this information, the more we can, you know, impede their plans, because if they come out with digital IDs and CBDCs, that's the end of, you know, privacy and freedom.
That's right.
For all citizens.
That's right. That is the plantation they want humanity on. And you mentioned United Nations Agenda 2030. Guys, look at these targets to be achieved by 2030. Do you think that's a coincidence? No. United Nations Agenda 2030. They want everybody to be vaccinated. They don't want anybody to question or reject the childhood adolescence vaccine schedule, which is causing autism to go from 1 in 10,000 to now 1 in 35. And I should mention, when I was in Mexico, my wife and I did meet up and have dinner with my longtime friend, Carrie Rivera, who has been doing her best throughout her lifetime to sound the alarm on this thing and to help children who have autism as the result of taking these bioweapons masquerading as vaccines. I think a great way to sum up this entire conversation, Dan, is just to make the point to the audience. You just made it. This isn't about fear-mongering at all. This is about awareness and education. This is about information, not the disinformation and misinformation coming from the governments and their willing prostitutes in the Mockingbird mainstream media and their corporations, by the way. If anybody wants to understand, and I think people are, again, this is all good news, bad news stuff, when Target behaves the way it's behaving, when Bud Light behaves the way it's behaving, when Harley Davidson even gets in on this thing to get a good social credit score by these demon creatures at the top of the pyramid, it serves to wake up more people. We now know that this assault against humanity is multifaceted. The vaccine program, just one vector point. The fluoride in the water, just a vector point. The GMO foods, the chemtrails, help me out here, Dan. They're hitting us from multiple vector points, and we've just covered a small portion of it in this conversation.
Yeah. Just some final points. I mean, the last image you showed on screen, this is not me saying this. This is from the WHO's own website, completing 500 national or sub-national introduction of new or underutilized vaccines. You know, this is by 2030. Again, this 2030 agenda. 500 vaccines by 2030. Okay, that's 7 years, 500 vaccines. How many is that per year? Like, I mean, if people cannot see that this is, you know, this is a profit motive and a depopulation scheme, if people cannot realize that, then, you know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, if you look at the bottom of my article, and don't take my word again, the bottom of my article on the exploitation of the children there, watch, there's a video I linked to. It's embedded there. The first article, it's embedded there. At the bottom, there's a former insider from the United Nations Development Programs. You go all the way down. There's an embedded video. And this is an insider 20 years who's been in the United Nations, okay? And he's the one who's selling, he's basically explaining that this is not a righteous organization. They have really nefarious agendas. And, you know, that's what they want to impose on people. Okay, well, don't take my word for it. Take somebody who's been in the United Nations for 20 years. I strongly encourage your viewers to go and watch that video. And also in that particular post, there's a Stop World Control website that lists all the abuses that they want to have with our children. All these materials, a lot of them are developed by the WHO, you know, very nefarious stuff. And, you know, Dr. Lee Vliet, she interviewed on her podcast, I know she's a regular on your show, she interviewed David Sorensen, who looked into this, and he did a really big deep dive, and it's just disturbing. I mean, I would invite your viewers to listen to Dr. Liviette's interview with him. And at the end, I'll leave you with this, okay? He quotes, and this is a quote from him, "There is only one reason why the wicked are reigning. It's because the righteous are not." And the last thought, I want you to go back, if you can, to the article. Maybe we can wrap it up, because I want your viewers, especially if you're parents, take a look at the picture that you see on the screen. Now, I want you to imagine maybe what happened to her. Imagine this is your child. Maybe something happened because of these people enable these policies, okay? This is what could happen if you do not take action now. You do not tell your politicians, enough is enough. We're not going to have any of this. Go to your local school boards. You know, these agendas, take action before your child becomes a victim of these predators, because that's what they are. You know, these people are not there for us. Okay, these are predators. And, you know, it's time to take action. We're not going to let them win, Sean.
Well, and that's what I keep saying. At this point in human history, either the Great Awakening wins or they get their Great Reset and essentially usher us right back into Sodom and Gomorrah, right? That's where they want to take this thing because they are truly, truly evil. And at the very top of the pyramid, they've all sold their souls to Lucifer himself. And I would make one last point. You know, guys, I played that clip of Alex Newman talking about the Marxist Cultural Revolution. This is the same blueprint that was used by Pol Pot in Cambodia. What they're trying to do to our nation and Canada and the Western nations right now is exactly the blueprint that has been used time and time and time again. And what is the result of that Cultural Revolution? The deaths of tens of millions of people at the hands of their willing foot soldiers. Friends, I can't thank you enough for tuning in, and I highly recommend you all go over to Dan's Substack. I will leave the link below. Our guest has been independent journalist Dan Fournier. The link to his Substack is below. Daniel, thanks so much for your time and your efforts, your energy on behalf of us, our loved ones, and our children. We really do appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Sean. It's been an honor and privilege to be on your show. You do tremendous work. I can't say enough. You know, you're a true, like, truth warrior, and you do this, you know, how many times a week. It's just incredible what you do, and the quality of your guests. These are very, very well-researched, well-spoken guests. You know, Dr. Lee Viet, Todd Callender, Bill Holter, Harley Schlanger you had on. I've corresponded with him. He's very, very generous, very well-researched guy, tremendous guest. You mentioned Alex Newman. I'd also invite people, you know, I also publish some of my articles get published on globalresearch.ca. Mm-hmm. And in the US, I think some of you might be familiar with Activist Post. And there's also another website just launched recently called newspaste.com. And this was set up by an investigative journalist, very talented fellow named Johnny Vedmore. There are lots of journalists like Whitney Webb who publish on that site. And they also link to another site called Unlimited Hangout. So you can find some of our work on those sites and, you know, inform yourself with truth, and truth will set you free.
Yeah, it definitely will. It'll set you free. The truth shall set you free, friends. You mentioned Michelle Chasudetsky's site, globalresearch.ca. Yep. An important site. I didn't know that you were published there. That's fantastic. I love that site. And some of the books by Michelle Chasudetsky helped wake me up. I can tell you, America's War on Terror, that was really a great awakening call for me. I mean, we all knew that we were being ushered into these global wars on the back of a lie, 9/11. But Michelle really flushed it out in his book, America's Global War on Terror.
Yeah, and maybe one final point. On my website, you can find an article, how NATO is committing cyber warfare against the global masses, because, you know, this is fifth generation warfare, and we're their enemy, okay? And this is not hyperbole. People can go look at my article. That's how they got a lot of support for the war in Russia, and this is being committed against us on a daily basis. The level of social engineering is just beyond belief. So I'd invite people to go take a look at that, because we are being manipulated, we're being herded, and we're being socially engineered. And it's hard to admit that, so, you know, even for people like me, it's hard to admit that, but, you know, we get gaslighted real quick, and you know, we all have egos, so it's hard to admit that we're being played, but we're being played big time.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Well, you've helped uncover at least a bit of that in this conversation, and your work over there on Substack is certainly paramount to the discussion, so I hope people will check that out. Friends, the link is below. Daniel, thank you so much for your time today, brother. Stay in touch. We'll get you back on again, okay?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, and thanks for all those kind words. Not necessary, and I really do appreciate it, though. That was very nice of you to say those nice things about what we do over here at SGT Report. And friends, I'll remind you every single day for free, you can visit us directly at thephaser.com, thelibertymill.com, and of course, sgtreport.com. Those are all antidotes to corporate propaganda in the Mockingbird, mainstream media, Bill Gates, CIA, Gavi, World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, United Nations, lies. God bless you and yours, friends. Bye-bye.
And then you go into Target and they've now got little t-shirts for kids that say, Satan respects your pronouns. So this is diabolical. It's an agenda from hell. And it is very specifically designed at breaking down the old system and turning our children into revolutionaries.